Well, might as well just have Louis stay up here, you know. It's really an honor to have him introduce you, but I'd just rather him teach, you know. Maybe you wouldn't, but I would, because he's the best preacher on the planet, best pastor on the planet. Amen. So grateful to get to be under his leadership and part of his church. You know, it is tough to be fill in his shoes and step up here when people roll through our house, such an amazing communicator, pastor, and then have to get up with up here when everybody thinks that Louis is going to be teaching. Can you just feel my pain for a minute? Like, can you just, like, you know, just kind of connect with me for a few minutes? And then just feel sorry for me, if you will. But I don't want the awe. That's too far. That was too far. But then last week, I heard he was teaching on hell. I was like, well, I've actually never heard a straight message on hell. And that seems pretty heavy, pretty intense, and I'm not sure how that's going to go. So maybe that would be a good week to follow him up. And then I heard the message, and it was one of the best messages I've ever heard in my life. And it has shaped the way I've thought, and hopefully it will shape the way I live going forward. And I'm so grateful for this series that we're in. I'm so grateful to be under the teaching of last week's message. If you weren't here, you definitely need to go to the podcast. Check that out, because it's just so powerful. And this series that we are in, it's just something special. We're in a special season at PCC and what God is doing. And my hope for today and is not would it just be, it's special for some other people or for the church and everybody else. But my hope for today is to be a really special day for you, where you would walk in the doors that you could have already walked in. You walk out going, man, God had me there for a reason. He had something for me. And yes, there's people putting light bulbs in the wall to say they put their faith in Jesus. Last week, there were dozens and dozens and dozens, which is awesome. This morning, dozens, 12:30, a dozen. And, you know, but the hope would be it wouldn't just be for all those people, but for God has something for every single person. God is enough for every single person here. So that's what we're believing. It wouldn't just be a special season for the church, but it'd be a special season for you. And today, as we celebrate communion, as we remember Jesus, it's just a beautiful time. I mean, last week, Pastor Louis saying, hey, this is what the cross of Christ teaches us about hell. Then what a great follow-up to just say, let's celebrate communion and let's not rush through, move on, go too quickly. But let's stop. Let's get the cross in full view, the center of our attention. Let's stare at the cross. And that's what we're hoping will happen for you and for me tonight. And I know, as I mentioned, we're about to talk about the cross. I've already lost some of you. You're like, okay, I don't have to take notes. I've heard that already. I know the cross. I know the story. I know the message. In fact, I go to PCC and they talk about the cross a lot. But I just want you to know that the cross isn't just like, you know, the elementary teachings. Then we move on to something better and bigger. No, the cross is the teaching. It is the gospel. And we're going to just keep talking about it. And I hope that's okay with you. It isn't like, you know, I mean, for me, it's like, okay, step one, I got the cross. What's next? What's step three, four, five, six, I'm ready to grow. No, it's all about the cross. It's all about the resurrection. It's all about the gospel. That's why Paul said in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation. It was the power of God. No, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. And for me, I'll just be honest with you. Grew up in the South. Well, is Texas the South? Does that count? Okay, we're in the Southeast Conference, Texas A&M, by the way. We used to have a good football team. Not so much. Any Mississippi State fans in the house? Okay, could you leave, please? I'm trying to bring the Word of God. No, seriously, man. I mean, it's just hard. Would you mind leaving? You yelled too loud right there. Thank you so much. No, I'm serious. I'm like... Pray for him. I totally lost my train of thought too, but no, I'm growing up in the South or Southish, West Texas. I'm so confused now, but growing up in the Bible Belt, growing up in an amazing church and hearing about the cross over and over again, sometimes I'd come numb to it. And you know what? We all have this tendency, right? God moves so powerfully in our lives, shifts some things around, and then the next thing you know, we're like just right back in the same old traps, the same old ruts. And we're so quickly to lose focus, so quickly to forget. And it's like, how could we forget? It's the best message ever. Can we just get to what Paul said? I don't want to boast in anything else except the cross. That's where we need to be, church. It's like we're not going to, it's not intended for us to live our life trying to make much of ourselves, trying to pretend that we're somebody that we're not, trying to tell the world how great we are. No, that's not the point of life. What we should do is just be, I want to boast in the cross. I want to cling to the cross. I want to live for the cross because it is the power of God for my salvation, for what God has done in my life. And so I want us to stare at the cross today. You know, when we stare at the cross, it loosens our grip. It rearranges our priority, and it shifts the way we see people. Some of you have a really tight grip on the things of this world. And you think what's in your hands is way better than what God has for you. You need to stare at the cross. You need to see who God is and what he's done for you. I know for me, after last week's message, I see people differently. I want to see people differently. I got a text right after the 10 o'clock gathering and said, I'm so grateful for that message on hell because it's changed the way I view my family. And it does not lead me to complacency, but it leads me to action. That's what happens when we stare at the cross, right? And to look at the cross, we don't need to go back just 2,000 years ago. We need to go back to the very beginning. Because the cross is not just a sequence of events 2,000 years ago, but it was in the mind and the heart of God from the very beginning. And the more we see that, the more we're going to worship. The cross was not an afterthought. Cross wasn't God's contingency plan. He wasn't scrambling, stressing out, oh no, this, how is this happening? What should we do now? From the very beginning, God said, I've got a plan, and I'm going to make that plan happen for the salvation of everybody who puts their trust in the name of Jesus. This is the plan. This is where eternity is focused on. This is the epicenter of creation and of the story. It's all about the cross. And the resurrection. If you got your text, let's go to Acts chapter 2, if you will. Acts chapter 2, 42, or no, 22, I'm sorry. And what happened is Jesus just rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples, several hundred others, then he ascended into heaven, and then he left the Holy Spirit. And what we're about to read is a small part of the first message, the first sermon, the first talk by one of the disciples. He's got the power of the Holy Spirit on his life, and he steps up courageously because people are, flipping out. What is happening? There's an empty tomb. We saw Jesus. What's the message? What's the story? What's God doing? And how is this all possible? And Peter steps up, and I wish I could go through the whole thing. It's so powerful, but he says a few lines I want to read. Verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. It wasn't just man's decision, it was God's plan. He was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And he says, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. And then right there, verse 24, but God. Oh, aren't those amazing two words? But God. It's good news right there. Can you say that with me? But God. Now, come on. But God. That's our story. We were going one way, but God stepped in. We didn't have a shot, but God sent Jesus. We were doomed for death. That was what we deserved. But God made a way for us. It says, but God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. That's our story. That's the cross. But God, he stepped in. And you know, it was the plan all along. Isn't that amazing? It was the plan. Now, the message says, I want to read it off my phone really quickly. And I just love the way he phrases it. Oh, no. Bible app on the iPhone, not doing well. Hang on one second. He said, this Jesus following, check this out, the deliberate and well-thought-out plan of God. He was betrayed by men who took the law into their own hands, and he was handed over to you, and you pinned him to a cross and killed him. He said, but God, there it is again, untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him. Death was no match for Jesus. Praise God. We got any planners in the house? Like people like a good plan? Like things to be in order? Like to know what's happening? Think far in advance. You're a little boring, so you have to have like a 6-month count. And I'm just not a planner, so I threw the word boring in there. But come on, any planners in the house? Any non-planners? Anybody not answer the question? You know, when I ask a question, it would be really helpful if you answered it. So we're going to try that all over again. Any planners in the house? I want to see who you are. Okay, there are a lot of you. We would not really get along all that well because I'm not good at planning. I don't like to plan. Y'all are raising your hands a long time. Are y'all like, love a good plan? Sure. Hey, where are my people? Where are the non-planners? Yes. Isn't life more fun without a plan? Why stress out over the details? Let's just figure them out on the fly. Let's not plan, and it's more fun to not even have one. It's way better to wing it, right? I like to wing it. That's how this talk is going right now. I'm just winging it. I don't like a plan, and I don't like to roll with the plan, but when I was thinking about, you know, how to talk about God's plan for the cross for our salvation, I was like, well, that's going to be hard for me because I'm not a planner. I can't think ahead far enough to make something happen. But I thought about it. You may have heard this story before, but I thought about the time I was making a really big move in life, a really big decision. I wanted to ask my girlfriend, Brittany, to marry me. Pretty big deal. All right, are y'all yelling because I was going to ask her to marry me or that you love Brittany? I don't know. Okay. I wanted to ask her to marry me, but I was also a little nervous because it is a big deal. It is hopefully spending the rest of your life with somebody. And I was like, am I ready to be a husband? Have we dated long enough? And she, you know, we've been dating like 2 years. So yes, the answer was we've dated plenty long. I've realized that now. I shouldn't have dragged my feet. Men, let that be a word to you in the house if you're in the same boat tonight. No, you know, girlfriend, you can nudge him if you want right here. But I wanted to ask her to marry me. I thought I was ready. I sought some advice from some different people that were really close to me. I decided I wanted to call and get some advice from my best friend in the first grade. And from the first grade, not in the first grade. Let's get back to my notes. Sorry. I called my best friend from the first grade, and he knows me very, very well at this point, probably better than anybody but my mom. He loves Jesus. He was ahead of me in life, married, kids. And I was like, I just want to put all my cards on the table. I was like, okay, hey, Jonathan, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm processing. I need you to tell me, am I ready? And should I ask her to marry me? And, you know, I need some advice. And he gave me two pieces of advice. First piece of advice, he said, getting married is like jumping off of a cliff. It's like, is that good news, bad news? Is that supposed to get me to buy the ring or not? And he's like, and hopefully you're landing in like this amazing pool of water, and it's becoming the most amazing moment in your life. And that's been true for me, Brittany. And then he said the other thing was he just knew. He knew me so well. And he knew I would drag my feet. He knew I'd think about it way too long. It would take too much time. He's like, Brad, she's amazing. Everybody sees it. Just go for it. You're ready to be a husband, and you're ready to do this. And he said, I need you to make a plan and work a plan. No more debating if you're ready. Just figure out how you're going to propose. Make a plan. And then you work that plan. And then you call me with updates and details because we're getting you married. It's been way too long. And it is time for you to marry this girl. So he just kept saying to me, make a plan and then work the plan. I was like, okay, bro, chill out. It's me getting married, not you. And then he just kept texting me, kept calling me. What's the plan? Have you made it? Have you figured it out? Are you, you know, have you bought the ring? You found the right one? Have you, you know, figured out the day you're going to do it? And I'm like, bro, chill out. I'm working on it. I wanted it to be a surprise. I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be something that nobody else had done. So I came up, you mind if I tell you what the plan real quick that I came up with? I'm pretty proud of it, but you might think it would be a stupid plan, but well, I'm just going to tell you anyway. I had my roommate who had been dating a girl a couple months, but they were very serious. I had him call me and Brittany and ask us if we would help him pull off his proposal story, thinking the whole time it was going to be theirs, but it was really going to be ours. So Brittany booked, we had Brittany tour the venue with us, figure out where it was all going to go down. We had her book. Oh, now you're getting nervous. See, now you're like, uh-oh. People are shaking their heads. Yeah, I did this. This is not fabricated. We had her book the after party of where the other girl's engagement's going to be. That's only been dating 2 months, and we've been dating 2 years. Wanted it to be a surprise. Brittany built the flower bouquet for her own, what ended up being her own proposal. It was the most beautiful flower bouquet I've ever seen. I was frustrated because it was taking her so long, and we had to get out of there, and she was just so excited, making it perfect for these other people. Darren and his girlfriend went and took a bunch of pictures in different outfits, and then we put them in all these different frames in the room, set up the furniture, set up the candles, got it just like we wanted it, and then we said, let's go grab some dinner for a little bit. And I'm like, this is going to be really awesome. But the key part of the plan in my book was I wanted her to be bummed out. I wanted her to... This is the phrase I really wanted. This is the phrase, why her and not me? That's the phrase I was going for, like kind of get her low and then come in and like really make her happy. Risky, I know, risky. Idiot, stupid. But I mean, my buddy told me it was his fault. Make a plan. I made a plan. And I was working it out. I was figuring it out. I was on the, you know, just doing what it took to make it happen. We were at dinner. This is where things went wrong. We were at dinner, and she was so excited for Darren and his girlfriend. And at the same time, all of our friends are back there changing everything out, including the pictures in the picture frames, lighting more candles, making it amazing. And Brittany is like, oh, I'm so excited for Darren and Molly. They're going to be an amazing couple. God's going to do such great things in their life. Oh, their wedding's going to be beautiful. They're like a great pair. And I was like, that's not what you're supposed to be saying right now. You're supposed to be sad. You're supposed to be bummed. You're supposed to be down in the dumps wondering when I'm going to get my act in gear. And so I took matters into my own hands, and I said at dinner, right before I went to propose, I said, babe, I know your lease in your apartment is about to expire, and you're wondering what to do. I said, I really think you should sign another year lease. I'm not kidding. Tears come down. I was like, just where I want her. This is perfect. This is it. I made a plan and I worked a plan and it's all working out. So we walk out of the restaurant. It is tense and she is not happy. And I basically just told her, I'm not ready yet to be married. And we walk into the venue. I text my friends, say, we're on our way. Get out of there. They didn't get the text quite in time, so they're running away up from us as we get there. We walk in, and I say, babe, it's not her night. It's your night. Will you marry me? And she said, I'll pray about it. And I was like, well, but it was this plan, and I came up with it, and I wanted you to be excited. I wanted you to say yes, and I wanted it to be different. And she was like, yeah, maybe a little too far. No, she said yes. We've been married for 3 years. We're actually pregnant, expecting our first child. So, but I'm so thankful for that story, and I'm really so thankful for that phrase. And that's just what I want to put on the table today for you, for me, before we celebrate communion. Make a plan and work a plan. Because that's true of you today, that God has made a plan for your life. He made you and he has a plan for your life. Some of you in this room are doubting so much, but you're definitely doubting your self-worth. You're wondering if anybody notices you. You're in a hard spot. Self-confidence is in the dumps, but all you need to know tonight is you are made by God and for God. God made you, and he has a plan for you. And Pastor Louis mentioned it earlier, the struggle that's probably represented in this room. I mean, think about it. If we went down the row, had everybody say something about that, what they were going through, a hard time, something tough, something you're walking through, you're facing a struggle, a temptation, loss. The circumstances in this room aren't all the best. But I do know this, God is bigger than your circumstances. And what God has for you is way better than what the world's trying to sell you. You're made by God. He made a plan. He made you. Scripture says he's acquainted with all your ways. God's familiar with everything about you. He knows everything about you, including what's best for you, what's going to meet that biggest need in your heart, and he wants to fill it. You've been made by God. You've been made for God. He has a plan for you, and you need to believe that tonight. You need to have hope in that tonight. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're walking through, he made you, and he has a plan for you. That's what the scripture says. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Isn't that good news? You didn't say yes and then God decided to do some great things in your life. No, he said yes to you so you could say yes to him. God began the good work in you. He made the first move. And he's faithful to complete it. We are singing the Lord our God is ever faithful. Come on, that's our song. He who began a work in you, a good work in you, will be faithful to complete it. We can count on God. He's not going to bail out on us. He's not going to turn his back on us. He's going to get us across the finish line. He's faithful. But not only does he make a plan for you, he's invited you. He's invited me into a much bigger story, where the plan wouldn't just be all about your life and my life. It's a matter of life and death. We've got that dash, right? We just get one. And God's plan, God's invitation, God's option, he's saying, hey, I want you to trade up. I want you to trade up from your small story and into a much greater, bigger, eternal story that I've got in mind for you. He said, I want you to cash in, right? Heaven's better. I want you to cash out of the things of this world and cash into all that I have for you. The fullness that you can experience now, but definitely the fullness that he's got in mind, he's got prepared for us in heaven. He says, just trade up. Be a part of a much bigger story. That's his plan. He made it and he's working it out and he's inviting you to be a part of it. And when we see that, church, we wouldn't just pay lip service to the cross. We wouldn't just say, yeah, we know the cross. We grew up Bible Belt. We go to church every Sunday. No, it would become the center of everything that we do. And our life would just be a response to seeing who God is and what he's done for us on the cross. Because of the plan of God, we need to see it. I just want to mention a couple other scriptures to you. And we're going to take communion together. Hebrews 1. God made a plan and God's working a plan. It's the word of God. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, he appointed Jesus heir of all things. And through him, he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory. Are you kidding me? He's the image of God, the radiance of his glory. That's how we know God, is through Jesus. He said he's the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And he became much superior to the angels because the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. The plan. God made it. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And in the beginning said, I want my people to have life, because it is a matter of life and death. And so there's only one way to make that happen. There's only one way to make that possible. There's only one shot to fulfill the requirements of the law, to satisfy the justice of God. And that was sending his son, who was not just a man, was not just a miracle worker, was not just a great teacher. He was the exact representation. He was in the very nature of God. Isaiah 53, we're looking at the plan. God made a plan. He's working a plan. You might know this scripture. Verse 3. This was written, by the way, hundreds of years before Jesus walked on the earth. And it was just little by little, year after year, God unfolding his plan for our salvation and his glory, to give us the shot to have life, eternal life with him. And it was all heading towards the cross. It was all heading to Calvary. And he said he was despised. He was rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. There's the word, but, verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Come on, church. And by his wounds, we are healed. That's our story. That's the plan. That's God working. But God stepping in, and he's given us the chance to have life. He's given us the chance to have healing. He's given us peace into our account. He's satisfied the requirements of the law. He said, my love is on display. My grace is on display. Yes, I'm a just God, and there was a price that had to be paid, but I'm full of love, full of mercy, and I want my people to experience me in the life that I have for them. But the plan wasn't easy. Jesus knew it. He was there in the beginning. It was the only way. It was plan A. But it wasn't easy. In the last hours of Jesus' life, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was face to face with the culmination of the plan from the beginning of time. And he could feel the weight. It was pressing down the sin of mankind that he was giving his life for. He could feel it. It was heavy. So heavy that blood, says the blood was oozing out of his pores. He knew what was at stake. He looked up to heaven and said, Father, is there another way? Father, is there another plan? Is there another way that you can show your love, show your mercy, let your people in on what you have for them? Get them to heaven. Make a way for them. Is there another way? Because this is heavy. This is hard. He said, but your will be done. Your plan be fulfilled. What you set in motion for your people's good and for your glory. Just, God, I'm going to willingly step to the cross. He said, your will be done. Thank God that nothing could stop his plan. And then in the last moments, the last breath of Jesus' life, he said, it is finished. The plan is accomplished. He gave his life. He paid the price. He didn't just show us the way or tell us about the way. He is the way. God had a plan. He has a plan. He wants you in it. But it's a much bigger plan than just what are we going to have for dinner tonight. He says, I want this world to know that this world's temporary, but there's something that's going to last forever. Yes, hell is real, but heaven is better. And there's a way. His name is Jesus, for you and I to be a part of that. He said, the plan has been accomplished. Death has been defeated. Life is available. Hell, no more. It was conquered. Salvation is here. Heaven is open because the plan was accomplished. And you know, for me, and I hope for you tonight, when we see, when we stare, when we get the cross in full view, we can't help but worship. And yes, sing songs, that's worship, but more just to give our whole life in response to God, to who He is and what He's done. It's just like, how could we not? That's who was hanging on the cross, the heir of all things. That's who gave His life. That's what He's done. The more we see, the more we worship.